have the pleasure of sitting with Brian Bartram, who is the transfer station manager. That is the Salisbury Sharon transfer station. And Brian, you've got quite a lot of information here for me. I don't know how much we're going to be able to cover today, but welcome to Out and About and Robin Hood Radio.
Welcome, Jean. Thank you, everybody.
Excellent. If I may, I'd like to begin by reading this letter that you want all residents of Salisbury and Sharon who actively participate with their recyclables and trash, etc., into the transfer station. So let's start there. Dear residents and businesses, as you may have seen in local newspapers, there are some new requirements that make solid waste disposal more challenging and expensive. Point number one, the state is now requiring more recycling and less solid waste. Point number two, the plant in Hartford where we send our waste has just increased our price to deliver by 15%. Many of you are already very conscientious about recycling, and for that we thank you. Some residents and businesses have room to improve their separation of recyclables from their garbage. The staff at the transfer station has been asked to increase their inspection of garbage for recyclable materials that have not been separated from the garbage. When observed, a warning letter can be mailed to the customer. Future incidents may include fines as allowed by town ordinances. We regret the need to take these steps, but the issues of solid waste management are a global problem with few immediate solutions. Thank you for your continuing cooperation to help save our planet and reduce the burden on the tax base. This is signed sincerely, Curtis Rand, Selectman of First Selectman of Salisbury, Brent Colley, First Selectman of Sharon, and Brian Bartram, the Transfer Station Manager. So that is current, and we got through that. And then you've handed me all sorts of papers,
all sorts of goodies.
And goodies and information. So, in a nutshell, I don't even know where to begin with this because this is a lot of information, and I don't want to drag it on too far.
Well, so the biggest impetus to get started with this, I think I used the term perfect storm at one of the selectmen's meeting. The vendor where we take our garbage and our recycling, which is Material Innovations Recycling Authority, out in Hartford, they're the new name for the old Connecticut Resources Recovery Authority. They had a mechanical problem beginning in November for 6 weeks, 2 months, something like that. They were unable to burn the trash, which they do in their facility, and turn it into electricity. Therefore, they had to start finding other options to get it out of the state. There's very little surplus capacity to have garbage in Connecticut go to other local in-state facilities. Everybody's pretty much maxed out. So they had to divert the waste to other states, Pennsylvania, New York, things like that. The problem is that all comes with a high price tag.
Because you're physically moving it, you're transporting it out of Connecticut
because
in very large
trucks. You're already receiving it under your normal infrastructure, and you then have to re-truck it out of state.
Okay.
So they have the mechanical repair fee, and they have the actual cost in tip fee and in transportation that was not budgeted in their budget. Therefore, we received the letter, one of the pieces that I handed to you, that the tipping fee, how much we have to pay MIRA for every ton of garbage that we drop at the transfer station that we take it to in Torrington, which then reships it to Hartford. April 1st was going from our current $72 a ton up to $81.35. So we're then going to increase again for July 1st up to a total of $83, which is where we get that 15% number. So without increasing the sticker fees, because I don't believe, don't quote me on this, I don't believe that the towns are raising the sticker fee this year, because I believe it was just last year that we raised it to the $100. So if your solid waste disposal line in the budget goes up by 15%, that's again somewhere in the $200,000 range of the budget. So now where's that money coming from? the second part of that is Connecticut Department of Environmental and...
Where is that?
DEEP, which is the new name for,
The letters keep changing on all of these
6 years for the old Department of Environmental Protection. Now it
energy
is also with energy.
Yep.
They came out, all 169 CEOs of the towns and cities in Connecticut received a letter from that department. Part of it included is the Municipal Waste Reduction Initiative's compliance plan. So that plan had to be submitted by April 1st, and it is requiring, which is consistent with the state solid waste plan, they want to have municipalities reduce the amount of solid waste, their garbage, basically, by 10% compared to the 2014, kind of as a baseline year. So if a municipality can prove that they are 10% less than the 2014 numbers, then they would be exempt from some of the other things that we're going to talk about shortly. Or if they have a residential garbage disposal weight of less than 500 pounds per person, they would also be considered in compliance. So they would not have to enact the other things.
Forgive me, is that per person or per household?
That was per person.
Per person. So now we get into census numbers, I imagine.
We get into census numbers, but of course the northwest corner does have a large number of part-time residents that come in. So they're not captured on most of the census data.
Right.
So if they're here 30% of the time, but they're not included in the numbers to be able to spread that weight across, it wouldn't be an accurate representation.
Gotcha.
So as part of the state's Waste Reduction Initiative's compliance thing, if the towns do not, if they are not already considered to be in compliance, either by reducing their garbage by 10% from the 2014 levels or by being below 500 pounds per person for residential garbage, they have several options. And again, I'm not going to go into all the details. It's a whole page of different options.
So I see that there are two tiers. Tier one has three options, all of which are pretty complicated, and tier two has seven.
So basically, the tier one, you'd have to choose one of the options from tier one. So basically, you could do a curbside pay-as-you-throw program. Well, we have some subscription service, but most people in Salisbury and Sharon have their stuff taken, take their stuff to the transfer station themselves. You could also do a curbside residential food collection program. Again, most of our people go to the transfer station. They don't have it done curbside. The third option under Tier 1 would be to have a transfer station pay-as-you-throw program, where you're going to pay by the bag, is basically what that would be. For Tier 2, what you could do is you could have, and in Tier 2, you would have to do four of the following. You would have to have a transfer station-based residential food scrap collection program, or you would have to have a curbside textile collection. Of course, at the transfer station, we already have four collection boxes for clothing and textiles.
You're ahead of a lot of this. Our transfer station,
I believe we are on the...
We're not cutting edge, I'm not going to say that, but we do really well here.
We do very well,
we
absolutely.
Do good. We do whatever, you know, it's positive. We've made an impact.
And by we, that's the businesses and the residents.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you, the staff at the transfer station.
Absolutely.
You keep us all in line.
Adoption and enforcement of the What's In, What's Out program, and we'll go into that very, very shortly. Implementation or expansion of extended producer responsibility programs. So those are the paint take-back program that we participate in, the mattress take-back that we participate in, and the electronic waste take-back that we already do.
Yes, all of that is separated out into... I'm imagining that some of our listeners, Brian, have a Welsh or a Richard Ralph or another company come and get their garbage and have never laid eyes on the transfer station. All of these things get separated out. There's a mattress area, there's an electronics area, the clothing bins, and so forth.
Yes.
Everything is... no there, two there things
are something
are
like 18 different places to put things.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the last of the list is residential year-round curbside yard waste collection programs. So once again, the small towns, many small towns, do not have curbside collection. Some towns do pick up brush curbside. Salisbury and Sharon do not. So that leaves you with very a very unappealing list of things to have to do. Again, out of the tier two options, we already do textile collection. We already do the extended producer responsibility, the paint, mattress, and electronics program. So we're already 100% there with those two out of four. What we've done is we've printed up part of Connecticut's Recycle CT Foundation. They came up with a what's in, what's out guide to recycling. Now, the biggest problem that I know right now is confusing for many people because the flyer that I had printed up, it doesn't describe that what this really is about is your items that would go into the recycling bin in terms of your single stream or mixed recycling, whatever you want to call it, basically your bottles, cans, paper, and cardboard. So the setup was really designed not for transfer stations, but for curbside people. So if you imagine that you're in the city or the suburbs and you're going to wheel out your garbage cart and your recycling cart, that's what this what's in, what's out is very, very good at.
I see.
In a nutshell, the only changes really from our previous operating way is that there are a few things that are allowed into the recycling bin now, the single stream recycling, as part of a harmonization across Connecticut of what the different recycling plants will accept. So one of the biggest things that people are shocked at is shredded paper is no longer allowed to go in with your recycling. Unfortunately, at this time, it needs to go in with your garbage. Just as a quick note, there's two real reasons for that. When it gets to the facility in Hartford, one of the first things that happens is there's a grate that's about 2 inches by 2 inches, and anything smaller than that falls down and into the grates and goes down with the broken glass, because they try to get the glass off the line very quickly so it's safer for the employees there. But in an email to Tom Gaffey, who's the director of recycling at Mira, their biggest concern is a fire hazard, because by the time the shredded paper gets to the facility in Hartford, it's already out of the paper bag, it's already out of the loose, if it was just dumped in loose, it's all going to be airborne, and all the paper dust creates a fire hazard as it gets on all of their electrical motors.
Wow.
So that's the biggest reason for the shredded paper. However, they will accept pizza boxes now. Again,
there's a trade-off.
If your pizza box is filthy with cheese and grease, I would still say at least the bottom of it, still throw it out. The top, or if there's an insert and it's dirty, throw the insert in the garbage. The rest of the box can go in with the recycling.
So while we're on food, while we're on the pizza box.
Yes.
Carry out, take out leftover containers when we come to restaurants.
If they are made out of aluminum, that's fine.
That's still going single
yep,
stream.
That's still going in the single stream.
And the plastic lid?
And the plastic lid is okay.
Okay.
If it's a plastic, what they call a clamshell type, where it's the see-through plastic, it's probably marked with a number one. That is okay. Again, as long as they're rinsed out, just so that there's not food in it. However, the paper, imagine you're going to a Chinese restaurant and you have your rice or whatever in those takeout type containers. Those are not recyclable because to keep it waterproof, they have additives in that paper. So it's not conducted, it's not helpful when they try to recycle it into new paper.
Okay. Another foil, the aluminum containers that often have the plastic lid, some of them also have a cardboard on one side, foil on the other lid.
That piece would be garbage.
That would be garbage.
Correct.
Okay. And then the new takeout containers that we're starting to see that look, they're cardboard clamshell style, and they seem to be treated with something. They're reinforced so that they don't leak.
if they're waterproof, water resistant, then I would say they would go in the garbage.
Okay.
If it's just a paper, you know, a holder for your soda or for your coffee type thing, when you pick it up, you know, it holds four cups, those are fine. Those can be recycled.
Let's talk about coffee cups and lids.
Coffee cups and lids are, well, the lids themselves, if they're large enough, could go in by themselves as a plastic lid. However, the coffee cup itself, especially styrofoam, but the treated paper coffee cups are not recyclable. Again, they've been treated with a
waterproofing agent.
Exactly, so that your coffee doesn't seep through into your hand.
And then other beverage containers. So if I go to Dunkin' Donuts and I get an iced coffee with a lid and a straw.
Well, the straw would go in the garbage, and you'd empty the ice out. And then the cup, the plastic cup and the plastic lid could all be recycled.
Okay. So back in the day, probably 2014, all of these items that we just talked about had numbers inside a recycled triangle somewhere on the container. And that was how we determined, it was 1 through 7, I think.
It is 1 through 7. And actually it was many, many years working at the transfer station before I was attending a workshop, and somebody finally explained the numbers within the triangle are not designed for the resident. They're designed for the industry. So what each of those numbers is it's based, just to keep it simple, it's the polymer group that that it is. So number one is a polypropylene.
Okay.
No, that's, sorry. Number one is PET. Sorry about that, everybody. number two is high-density polyethylene. So each number has a thing, and that's more for an industry use.
But I thought that was a nice system.
Well, it is, but just because it's a number two, for example, doesn't mean that you can recycle it, because motor oil comes in a number two.
Oh, that's sneaky.
So, again, it's not designed to tell you that it's recyclable, or what it's contained. So the example that the speaker gave at that is, yes, I understand that, you know, number twos are generally recyclable, but consider it a family, and then consider, well, do you have someone in your family that you don't really want coming over for Thanksgiving? So it's part of your family, but you don't really want it in that tight little group.
Fascinating.
So once they said that, it was kind of an eye-opener, and it was a neat thing to be able to explain it to residents that
way. Yeah, because we've all got that one uncle. pull this back together with the perfect storm. We read your letter to residents and businesses, and you talked about a perfect storm and how all of this was...
with the cost increase, and then the DEEP, again, with their waste reduction initiatives. April 1st, I submitted our plan for the two towns to DEEP. I have not yet heard back whether they're going to accept the assumptions that are made, because again, we don't track how much garbage is generated residentially versus commercially or institutionally. So I had to use some statewide averages on that, and we don't have an actual exact census number. Well, we have an exact census number, but it doesn't include.
It doesn't reflect what goes on.
Many
here.
Of the part-time residents.
Right.
So I spoke to both assessors in Salisbury and Sharon, and we made some assumptions, and that's what we presented. So the report that I sent back in is that we're claiming that we are exempt from those Tier 1 and Tier 2 options. So if DEEP accepts that, that we're under the 500 pounds based on those assumptions, then we would not be obligated to implement one of the Tier 1 or four of the Tier 2 options, which in terms of financially, for the towns, for any town, it would be much cheaper to implement a pay-as-you-throw program, because there's very little expense to the town to do that. To create a composting program, to create a brush collection program, to do things like that, or to have to do it curbside when the small towns don't necessarily do it curbside, there would be a huge upfront financial cost, either in capital or in program or disposal.
Just getting the word out, I mean, just the mailing alone is
Correct.
It's prohibitive.
So, but the part of the reason that the selectmen and I wanted to send the letter out is it's important to get the information out to the residents that I think, again, I can't say that we have dodged this bullet, as it were, yet, but if the garbage continues to go up in weight at a certain point, or maybe even just down the road, the state's going to say, well, instead of 500 pounds, maybe it has to be 450 pounds, and you'd be exempt. You know, there's nothing to say they might not want to do that. And, you know, I remember several years ago, and then many years ago, almost 20 years ago, most people do not want to have a pay-as-you-throw program, would be my takeaway. So as of right now, I believe that we've been able to sidestep being required by the department to do that.
Okay, so we're holding them back for now, and we'll definitely do a follow-up interview about this whenever you hear back from DEEP, and so that we know. So this is, I wrote a note here, effective July 1st. That would apply to, I don't know what I wrote that for.
July 1st would be for the Tier 1 and Tier 2 options. They would have to be...
So if we are going to be making commitments to either one Tier 1 or four of the Tier 2,
correct,
which we already have two under our belt.
Correct.
You'll see changes at the transfer station by July 1. Or notification about them by...
Correct.
July 1 and then implementing.
Because time gets short very quickly to try to change and implement programs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you think of the part-time resident notifying them or their, go spend the weekend in my lake house in Salisbury or, you know, my mountain house in Sharon, here are the keys. But all of the information there says, here's how you go to the transfer station on Monday or, you know, Sunday morning or whatever. Getting, you know, just that little snippet of the population, which is actually pretty big, getting the word out to the weekender or the weekender guest is tricky.
And the best time to do that is when the new stickers are on sale, because then the paperwork can go out with that.
Yeah, right. Well, Brian, thank you for bringing all of this to our attention.
Can I just go and do another recap on that little handout?
Yes.
Again, it's part of the Recycle CT Foundation. It's the What's In, What's Out Guide to Recycling. And again, the biggest thing, I just basically took their material, which they have for distribution, and had it printed up. So again, it doesn't say single stream on it. It doesn't say curbside recycling. It doesn't say mixed recycling. But when people look at it, they should look at it that this is, assume that you're in the suburbs or in the city and you're taking your recycling cart out to the curb. So again, people used to have blue bins. Maybe many still do. What's in is what would go into your blue bin. What's out, you would end up throwing into the garbage. Because again, this program was not designed for transfer stations where we also accept scrap metal and we accept lumber and we accept leaves and electronics and everything else that we don't want in the garbage, but it has a separate home somewhere else at the station.
Right. Okay, folks, read through everything that is sent to you or handed to you about this potential change coming our way, but maybe not right away. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely. And, of course, you could always email me, transferstation@salisburyct.us. That'll go right into my email inbox, and I'd be happy to do that.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much for taking the time today with us to educate the community on everything that's going on at the Salisbury-Sharon Transfer Station.
Thanks, Jean.